Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. This is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and we are going to talk about that today. Andy McConnell here with the Fairy Godmother Project. Hi, Andy. Thanks for coming back.
Yes, always. I love coming.
We always have I wouldn't say it's a good time always because we're talking about such deep things.
Yes, there's that. Yes.
But so many good things are happening in the community for Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. And I don't know, I guess every day so far this month, you have posted on Facebook a family, a child.
Yeah, what we've been doing is we've been like sharing about one of the kids that we have supported their family and when their child has died. And then we give a little blurb that the parents wrote last year for us. And what's really interesting about it is, you know, the purpose, obviously, is for it to raise awareness that children get cancer, but children also die from cancer. But what's been really nice to see, because, you know, I'm like all about the heart stuff, is people commenting these really kind things for those families. Because the reality is they're always going to be dealing with grief. And then to have people say things like, you know, I'm really sorry about your son. He was adorable, you know, when it's been 10 years or it's been 5 years, you know. So it's providing to me my, you know, kind of unexpected goodness in it is it's providing a little bit of important support to these families that was kind of unexpected.
I never even thought of that, about how important it would be to comment.
Yes, it is.
Something so simple as that.
Right.
And even if you didn't know, but you read the story and you can relate. The pictures are just, that's what's just always got me.
Well, and this morning's is about Carter Harris. And Carter, we weren't in existence when Carter had cancer, but his mom has been very involved and they're part of our Stargazers group. And in her passage, she talked about when Carter was born, there were 43 people at the hospital waiting for him. Like, that's how much love was waiting for him. And one of our volunteers who's very involved, she commented like, wow, 43 people. That's so much love for that child. And, you know, that touched me when I read that. I thought, yeah, it really is. And how great for that mom to be able to go in and read these different things. It's really important.
No, and I just, you always wonder, I'd like to do more. I would like to do something. And there's a great chance. And if you're
great,
not.
So simple.
Yeah. If you're not involved with Fairy Godmother Project, like the Facebook page, that's easy enough.
Right.
And you'll see these kind of things.
Yeah. And even being able to say something like, I wish I had known your child. And truly, like that simple. One of our moms is actually doing every day. She's for this whole month. She's posting on her own personal Facebook page about her child's whole cancer experience. And he passed away a few years ago. And I am so enjoying it from the standpoint of, we supported them, but I never met the family until right before when he was going into hospice was when I met him. So I only knew him. I think I only met him once, maybe twice. And so being able to learn about him for me is really great because I love this mom so much. And so to know about her son is valuable to me. You know, it gives me an opportunity to ask questions. It gives me an opportunity to support her. And it gives me an opportunity to know someone I'll never have the opportunity to know on earth.
Yeah. No, that is because I often wonder, there was a girl from Spotsylvania who was in treatment the same time that my son was in early 2000, Laura Green, and they had a similar kind of cancer, went to a lot of things together, and she did pass away. And you always wonder, whatever happened to that family? And I look at these pictures and just think, for these families to know that somebody remembers their name or somebody remembers what we went through.
Yeah, and so one of our, the woman who does our volunteer coordinating, her name is Helen Jarrett, and she was on the founding board, and she's been with us forever. And one of the reasons, aside from her being phenomenal and kind, that she's involved with FGP is because her best friend in high school died of a brain tumor. And so Helen is, you know, maybe 40-ish. I don't know. I wonder how old she is. Anyway, but she still reaches out to those parents every single year. And then she often will donate in honor of her. And so, like, this year, just a couple months ago, she did. And so I wrote a letter to the parents telling them that, you know, I knew about their daughter because Helen has continued to talk about her. She named one of her children after her. But that, for that family, I imagine, has to be so impactful and powerful to know that all these years later, someone still cares that much, that they're doing work in her honor, that they're donating in her honor, that she mattered.
The at the time, because you know, every month is a, there's a there it's something is something goes on every month. There's right. you know a focus, but over the years I have seen where Childhood Cancer Awareness Month really is. It's really an important time.
Yeah.
And for the families and then those going mm-hmm. through this, just to know that sometimes going through the treatment and what you're dealing with, it's always so unexpected and right. it's just sometimes so lonely.
And it's acknowledgement.
Right,
and
yeah.
Actually, I just, we have our big event of the year, the Stardust Ball a week from Friday, week from tomorrow. And that's one of the things, like I write an opening thing, and not to ruin it for anybody, but one of the things I said is, every year when these people show up to the event, all these people who are there to donate, to support, to potentially become volunteers, whatever it is they do, they are saying to those families, what you experience matters.
Mm.
And that is more impactful than I think anyone realizes, because after the fact, parents will come to me who are attending the event and say, that was unbelievable. Like watching all these people donate, it's like it's validating. It's acknowledgement that what you are experiencing deserves the support that Fairy Godmother Project provides.
Yeah.
And I think that is really, you know, it's that ripple effect. It's amazing to watch that, to watch people give in that way, but also just to show up. Like just by showing up at one of our events, you're saying that childhood cancer matters and these hard experiences matter. And that's huge. Huge.
I remember, Andy, when we first met, and I've always said that it's great to have Fairy Godmother Project in this area because you, and we'll get into a lot of the things that you provide as we go along this morning.
Yeah.
But that you provide those kind of things and that it's here. But I guess after having watched everything and met some of the families and some of the kids, I just realized how shallow that was now of how so what Fairy Godmother Project really does is it does really have an impact on the families.
Yeah.
And it's so much more than we'll mow your lawn or we'll do this. That all is a huge help. But as time goes on, just how you put families together.
Right.
The community aspect
is really huge. And not every family is interested in that community aspect.
Right. Yeah.
But those that are really do take advantage of it and get connected. And, you know, we have volunteers who – we have a family whose daughter died in 2015, and their lead volunteer is still in regular contact with that family, checking on them, talking to them, you know, because they developed a relationship. And it's part of – it's a really important part of their experience, and knowing they still have that support is very valuable. And it's not required from the volunteer standpoint, but – when you are a volunteer and you get attached to a family and you get connected to them, it's you know, kind of a natural thing because it's a friendship that develops.
It has been it's all just happened in the last few weeks, really. But the whole story of Joey Sly making the Carolina Panthers and bringing back the whole thing with his brother that whole story. I went and rewatched the video from a few years ago that they did when they named the stadium.
The stadium.
And just to see the family and just that was, I think, 5 years ago or something like that. And but just to have that whole story come back.
Yeah.
Back.
And I saw something where he said he promised his brother.
Yeah.
And that like gutted me. That's all I couldn't even. I looked at the things online and I was like, can I handle this today? I don't think I can.
Yeah.
So I didn't. But yeah, I mean, amazing. And what a tribute to his brother. And they've done really great things with the scholarships that they do. And they've done some things for our families before with Sly Strong Six.
Every time he makes a field, and I didn't even realize this. I went back then and watched some highlights of some Virginia Tech games where he would have kicked. Because every time he makes a field goal, he holds up the number six.
Geez, Ted, come on. We're like how many minutes in?
I know.
Do I really need to cry?
I know. I know. But it's
that is.
Oh, it is. And he's told it to so many places. I first saw it on Panthers.com as he was doing it, but then like the Charlotte Observer's gotten involved. There's an Associated Press story out today on it. So,
oh really? I'll have to look for that.
It's continuing now. A lot more. He continues to tell the story, and it goes on. It just. Hopefully everything goes well, and as he goes along in the season, you'll know that.
And so great too, you know, that I think if people look at it a little bit deeper rather than just like here's this guy, and realize that here he is, and his brother has been gone for years. He died years ago, and still, it matters. It still matters that for him that he put that six up when he.
Yeah.
Ted, come on.
I thought you knew that.
I know. Yeah, I try to avoid. I can only handle certain things. I see in a little FGP capsule.
So what he's done that. He did that in the exhibition games with the Panthers, and he did that all through Virginia Tech.
So great.
I never realized that.
That's amazing.
So I'll just read one of the stories.
Yeah, I'm going to look for that today.
Wow. Andy McConnell is here for a Godmother Project. Our focus, Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, is this month. We will continue. On News Talk 1230 WFVA, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. The financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk. Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell is here this morning from the Fairy Godmother Project. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. Also, Facebook has all kinds of stuff. And really, the Facebook page, again, the stories just get me. And I don't know, some of the names to me are familiar, but there's just a handful that I actually knew.
Right.
But just to read the stories.
Yeah, and we're up to 15 families now who've had a child die.
Wow.
Yep. And so we will feature them all the way through the month. And then I would like to bring on, like, talk about families that are either in remission or who are survivors or currently in treatment if the families are open to it. So I find that our bereaved families are more open to sharing, which is understandable because they like the support, but they also want to ensure that their child's not forgotten.
It's been exciting to see over the last few years. And I remember, I think this sort of got going last year when you had some kids from Massaponics.
Yes.
That got involved. And you're seeing more about schools getting involved.
Yeah. So this year what I decided to do was part of our Heart of Gold campaign. You know, I figured I can't do all of it. And we work with Strong for Dom and we can't reach every single school. So I put it out there on social media that we were looking for high school representatives that were juniors or seniors. And I said juniors or seniors because I wanted them to be able to drive. I didn't want them to rely on their mom or dad. I needed to know they could be at meetings. And spent this summer having meetings with these kids from all different high schools in the area. And I'm telling you what, multiple times meeting with them, I thought anybody who's worried about the next generation hasn't met these kids.
Yeah.
We're talking kids who have so much drive, no connection with the exception of one to childhood cancer at all, but they are so driven to raise awareness at their schools. So we have multiple Gold Out games. In fact, tomorrow night's Stafford's is a Gold Out game, and the different schools have the football players will have decals on their helmets that are gold ribbons. We have kids selling shirts. We have kids getting ribbons worn. I mean, all kinds of things. One of the kids started is starting a club, a Heart of Gold club at their school. And so the way that I did it is I just said, anything you do is more than we've done before. So that's our first goal this year, is just to raise awareness. And what that looks like is up to you. If you have time to engage your entire school, great. If you have time to engage a sports team that you're on, great. That's more than we had last year. And so they have all kind of taken it and run with it and done, you know, it's I think it's been a good leadership experience for them too, because they realize how much you have to like seek out, you know, other people in the community to support you. They had to go to their principals. They had to go to whomever they could to get them on board with the idea. And some of the schools are going to go all out and some are not. But we're having a contest, an awareness raising contest. So for each thing that they do, they get different points. And at the end of the month, and we see who has the most points and who's the winner, they're going to get some big, ugly trophy. That's what they decided would be fun. Because at first I was like, what can we do? And it was interesting too, because one of the boys who is just such a nice kid, his dad is actually on my board, and his name is Thomas, and he goes to Riverbend, and he really wants to raise money for Fairy Godmother Project. And so he's like, well, can part of the contest be money raised? And I said, you know what? No, because that's not necessarily awareness. You know, like someone could stroke a huge check.
Yeah.
And then that's one person whose awareness is raised. I said it, we can count donors. So number of donors you get. And so they're just really into it. And it's inspiring to me to see these kids take it and go with it, you know. And like one of the girls sent me a text yesterday, her cross country team in Caroline County, they're going to wear gold ribbons during their meet next Wednesday. And just knowing these little things are happening throughout the area. And I'm hoping that it will motivate people. The goal is ultimately to get every single school, every single high school within the area we serve involved. And we're on our path to that. I think that it's very, very possible that we'll get there.
Well, I think it's so many teams and so many kids want to do something.
Right.
It's just like, you know, offer us the thing. And because I think back to the game at JM when they honored Kaylee.
Yes,
I
remember.
And just that picture that someone took of her when she's walking back off the field, but towards the JM sidelines with the football
player. I would say with the two football players.
Was, that to me was just striking.
Yeah, I was at the JM game on Friday, and that's the first time I've been at a game since then.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, we live in Stafford.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of kind of flashes to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a pretty, really cool experience.
And just to see, and just to know, and then even afterwards, talking to some of the coaches and how they were just so for that.
Yes, and they raised money and we were the beneficiary of it. I mean, they really, when they did the walk.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the more, you know, I think one of the other positives, the more more awareness is raised, the less scary it seems. Not that it isn't scary, but I often say my kids are like, so like, childhood cancer, it happens. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah.
But I think there's such a stigma about how scary it is, and no one really wants to talk about it. And the more we talk about it, the more that will be done. And that's the biggest thing, is something needs to be done about it. And, you know, I mean, I often think, like, maybe I should raise money for research. Well, that's not what my focus is. I have a little bit of ADD. I got to stick with my thing.
Yeah.
But something needs to change in terms of, especially for kids, their treatment is just, it's toxic. It's brutal.
It is.
Not good.
It is. No, I can. When my family went through it, I remember the doctors saying, because you look at the bags of chemo in my case, and you know don't dispose of this in a landfill, and don't do all of this.
Like the things that's like the big symbol. Like,
yes,
and so this you're is poison. You're like, what?
And I can remember one of the doctors at MCV saying to me, he said, you know what? He said, we don't know what this is going to mean down the line.
Yep.
And he said, we have some ideas and we're concerned, but we don't know. At this point, that was 20 years ago now.
Right. And now what they're finding is the kids that got treatment 20, 25 years ago are showing long-term effects as adults.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we've talked about this before, but like the secondary cancer is an issue. Like that's one of the things.
That was always a concern. And just the bone structure now. I know that's one thing we're looking at.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
And seeing that of just, you know, there may be something with that.
Mm-hmm, because it's toxic. I mean, in reality. And we have a mom who always kind of, she's very more Mother Earth kind of. And so it was hard for her to make that choice you know, I mean, of course she's going to do it because she's not going to take the chance of her child dying. But, you know, now the child's out of treatment and now they're facing what that looks like long term, you know. And for some of the kids, we've seen, you know, growth issues depending on how old they were. They, a couple of the kids we have are on growth hormones because they stopped growing during treatment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And things like that that you just don't think about. And then the other thing that kind of always comes back to my head is something that one of our moms said, which is that people, once they see a kid with hair after they've been through treatment, they're like, oh, he's fine. Yeah, no, he's not. You know, and especially with leukemia, it's leukemia is about 3 years for boys. And with that, it's like they go into what's called remission, but it's not the remission of we're done with treatment. It's remission, but it's kept in remission with chemo.
Yeah.
So it isn't like when someone says like leukemia kid's in remission, it isn't like a brain cancer kid in remission. It's different, as you know. And then what happens there is the hair does start to grow back. And so people see that kid and think, oh, he must be fine now.
He's
moving on. You know, and no, not only is he still battling or she's still battling the disease, but also those long-term effects.
And there's the immune system.
Up.
It takes years for that to come back.
Gosh, absolutely.
You know, you can get sick at the drop of a hat.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's so much more. And I always, you know, leukemia, I heard from a parent one time, a parent of a brain cancer kid, that like leukemia was the lottery of cancers. And I remember she was a cancer mom. So like cancer, you know, I'm going to go with that in my head. And then I read an article that a mom wrote about how people say that. And the reality is this, kids still die from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 to 3 years of treatment. They're in and out of the hospital. The minute that they have a fever, they have to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Like nothing, there is no lottery.
No, and they and there's so many different kinds. And
yes.
True, on a couple of the basic one, it has gone up, the life expectancy or the chance of being cured is way up to what it used to be.
Right.
But there still are a couple of others. There's another one that just it's stayed about the same.
Right. And one of the things too about leukemia or any cancer is one of the things that mom told me, which I thought was interesting, is once a person or a child gets beyond 5 years, they go into the statistics of survivor.
Yeah.
But if 5 years, one day, they have a recurrence, that doesn't get factored in back into that. And so sometimes the statistics are a little bit misleading.
Yeah.
In that way.
And like you say, one of the things around here I think we have really benefited from are some of the families that have been really upfront. I mean, the Hardys. I mean, we saw that, you know, we even we may not have known Josh, but we knew him.
Yes, absolutely.
And Kaylee the same way.
Right, and just raising that awareness.
Yeah.
Because I think for people, too, for anything, if you can't associate it with a human being, it's easy to turn your back on cancer or childhood cancer or any kind of cancer until you meet someone that you care about or you learn to care about who's experiencing it, and then it shifts, or hopefully, unless you're like a robot. But, you know, I mean, that's it for me, like – I become more and more and more passionate about childhood cancer because I meet more and more parents and families that I care about. And it's like this horrible spiral. I'm never getting out of it.
Yeah. We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, you've got a lot of stuff going on this month.
We do, yes.
And we'll get into that too. Fairy Godmother Project, our focus. Andy McConnell is here. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website and a great Facebook page. You ought to like it and stay up to date with what's going on through Facebook. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell here with the Fairy Godmother Project. FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. Also check them out on Facebook. This is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and this is always a month where you have a lot of things going on. Usually you make ribbons.
Yep, we had a ribbon making party last week, which we did with Strong for Dom. They actually coordinated all of it, which was great. And we have the 16th this year is our Go Gold Day, where we ask that everyone wear gold. And some other schools are doing different things, like one of our high school representatives from Stafford High School went to an elementary school. That was one of the things that he did. His name is Noah. And Noah went to the to Conway Elementary. And they're doing something on the 13th where their school wears gold. And our Stardust Ball is the 13th. I couldn't manage one more thing for that day. So I was like, I don't think we need to worry about gold for that day. So we're doing it on that Monday. And then we have, like I mentioned, Stafford High School has their gold out game tomorrow night, and also Caroline High School does. And then on the 13th is James Monroe's gold game. And then on the 27th, there's three. There's Colonial Forge, Riverbend, and Cortland High School. And the cool thing, the Colonial Forge one, they're doing like a tailgate at their school and then driving over to Brookpoint where they are who they're playing against. And that's all been coordinated by these high school kids.
Wow.
Who've gotten their schools involved, gotten their teachers involved. And on the 16th, there's also for those students that got their schools to participate, there's going to be a door decoration contest at each school, just all different things. I really seriously said to them, like, whatever you want, just do it. And every little bit matters. So we've got bracelets that say Heart of Gold. And then on the inside, they say hashtag kids get cancer too. And then the kids are selling those and distributing them at their schools. And really important, you know, like we budgeted this year for awareness so that we could do this. So
yeah.
Awareness items, because, you know, you can't expect every, you know, the PTA to pay for it or the, you know, the schools to pay for these different things. But us being able to do it is makes it so that it is spreading the word so that kids do know about it. And more knowledge is definitely more power. So,
well, to get the kids involved, because mm-hmm. Before Fairy Godmother Project, kids get cancer. Kids do get cancer in every school. And I, because I always remember the night I told my kids about their brother having cancer, and their first reaction, my daughter's first reaction was, "Oh, is he like one of those? There's a boy in my class who doesn't have any hair."
Oh, interesting.
And
right.
That was how she related
Absolutely. Then
to what he had.
Yeah.
And like you say, to have some more more knowledge about this. And I know in the case of MCV would always they would always send an educator up to talk in his class.
Right, that's
one of the
great.
First few days. The teacher always appreciated it, and it sort of gave the kids an idea of what's what's happening. And but you're now, you know, by doing these kind of things, you're able to, I think, educate.
Yeah,
classrooms.
And we actually are really trying to, because I, you know, kind of merging all my loves and experiences. I have a master's in education. And so that's one of the things that we've been working on with educators in the community is pulling together resources. And so that if someone has a child in their class with cancer or has the sibling of, they have some resources of what to expect, what to do. And they still do a great job. The ASK does a great job. They have someone on staff that does that.
Right.
But the issue for us here is that if a child does not go to get treatment down there, they aren't eligible for those services. And so that leaves this gap where there isn't anybody coming down from DC or from John Hopkins or wherever they're getting treatment.
Yeah.
And so being able to fill that gap is really important. So that's one of the things I worked on this summer, was reaching out to the school systems and saying, hey, can I get in front of your principals, or can I get in front of your school counselors or your nurses? Like, what? How can I get in there to educate them? Last year we did a conference for educators that was really, really fabulous. And the feedback from them was really important information. And if you can get it into the schools directly, that would be great, because it's so hard for them to take time off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so trying to streamline that, I think probably as we go forward, the bigger push I can do for that. And, you know, saying to the school systems, if you have a child diagnosed, we can come into the school and educate on the spot.
That's fantastic.
And then we have a volunteer who is a retired special ed teacher, and she has been going at when families are needing it to IEP and 504 meetings with them as their advocate.
Yeah.
And being able to, she knows the language. She talks the talk. She's been doing it for many years. And so being able to do that with the families is really beneficial, because, you know, it's intimidating to go into a meeting like that, no matter what your background is. And for some people, they don't think it is. Like, well, why wouldn't you just go in? But parents, childhood cancer or otherwise, their experience with school as a child impacts how they handle school as a parent. So if they had a negative experience in the school system, they're not going to be like, well, I'm going to go in and advocate for my kid. They potentially could be like, I'm intimidated by it. They're not going to listen to me. So there's so many factors that go into everything. And trying to be cognizant of that for our families, that maybe they aren't comfortable being the parent that goes in and demands XYZ for their kid, but being able to provide them an advocate who knows what legally they're allowed and can go in and do those things is really important. And I'm really glad that we have this woman named Beth that's that's involved in doing that.
Or just to be able to even talk about it, because sometimes you're just, you just know what about your child, but there are just some other things in the whole picture.
Right, absolutely. And also the long-term side effects can be extensive.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I think, I went to a 504 meeting with one of our families and sat and listened to, it was amazing because the team of educators, and I'll do a little shout out, it was at Drew Middle School. I was so impressed with them. I was so impressed with their understanding of what this child's needs potentially could be. And the fact that they were looking at them and saying, okay, potentially, these are some of the things that might happen. So let's put it in her 504. So if she gets in a position where she can't finish her homework because she's having extreme anxiety because she's dealing with PTSD, let's give her something, you know, okay, she only has to do this many problems or whatever it is.
Wow.
But they were phenomenal. I was so impressed. Or like, needs to be able to have a water bottle. Okay, well then, water bottle, great. So then that means we have to put something in here that says she can go to the bathroom whenever she wants so that she doesn't get stopped by a teacher. No, you can't go to the bathroom after she's just had a gallon of water because she's trying to stay hydrated because of what she's going through. And I was amazed by how forward thinking they were about her long-term experience in school. She was in sixth grade, and it was like, all right, well, these things in place, even if she doesn't need them, if she ultimately does, it'll be a lot easier for her to have the services and have success. And they talked about how even into college, having that is really important. So it was really, for me, it was hopeful that these educators get it. They understand it. Because you aren't taught that in school when you go to school to be a teacher.
Yeah.
Because there's too many things. They can't sit you down and say, okay, these are the side effects of childhood cancer.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? The treatment might do this. This is the side effect. You know, there's not enough years for you to go to school for all that. So you don't know unless it's put in your face and you have to know.
I know. In our case, and this was early 2000s, every year it's in elementary school, we would go and meet with the principal and the teacher and the nurse. And I remember one of the years that the nurse at, I think it was at Harrison Road, said, thanked us and just said, this is so great. Because everybody then was on board. The teacher, and the teacher was really, she was had not been teaching that long and just said, I had no idea. And so it was set up to where my son, when he would get tired, he could go down to he could just get up and go down to the nurse and he'd just go down there and lay down. So she'd sometimes tell us, she'd email us and say, John came down and laid here for like 15 minutes, then went back to class.
Sometimes that's all they need.
That was all it needed.
Yep. And I think the more information you can have, you know, some parents wouldn't say, I wonder, you know, if I can reach out to the principal and request a meeting. A lot of parents would be intimidated and say, well, I guess this is just how it is, or suck it up, or whatever.
Yeah.
But in reality, they have rights to make sure they're accommodated appropriately because it is a medical thing that leads to, in the 504 plan, they're eligible for those.
And in our case, and like you say, like at Drew and those kind of things, the school wanted to know. They were just so – they were so – happy to have some kind of and when somebody from ASK would come up and talk to the class,
it was amazing. Right.
It was. Everybody was. It would be like a lot of time. Other classes wanted to come.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure
they'd
because
be like,
they
well,
want
since
to be
you're
informed.
Here, could you come down and talk to our class?
And one of the things that I often say is, so we've been in existence for 7 years. But there are kids in this community that either we don't know about because they were diagnosed and we didn't receive services, but also there could be children that are in our school systems that had it as a preschooler. Mm. And their parents don't realize because they haven't been informed that there may be long-term effects.
Right.
And so they could be struggling academically, emotionally in the classroom, and it's being blamed. Other things are being blamed because they're probably not mentioning, oh, my child did have cancer at 2, because that's not the first thing in their head.
Yeah.
It's, why is my kid being a pain? Or why can't my kid process? Not realizing that a lot of that probably is a result of the treatment.
Yeah. For people who don't know, Fairy Godmother Project, to describe
backwards today.
of what you do, because people may not realize or know just who you are targeting for.
Okay. So we support families locally, so Planning District 16. Who have children with cancer. And our focus is the caregiver as opposed to the child, meaning that we care about the kids too, but we really believe that by helping the parents with day-to-day tasks and financial things, that they can better support their children. The reality is all of us have been through stresses, and, you know, financial stress is really can be really hard. Mm-hmm. And any stress does impact how you interact with your family. It just does. And so, or at least it does at my house. So if there's a way to alleviate some of that, then we do. And so the way that we do that is we provide monthly support to include whatever they choose from a list of services. So they can get their house cleaned, they can get their lawn done, they can get gas cards, grocery cards, meals, all different things. And they choose what works best for their family. So any combination of things, every family's kind of menu of services is the same, but then what they choose from that menu is different. And they get a certain number of points every single month. They get 18 points to choose. And each point is worth about $25. So they get about $450 of direct service every month. On top of that, we do financial relief. So we pay bills twice a year. For them, we also do things called birthday boxes, where if they're having a birthday party for a sibling or for the child, they can make requests of what they'd like, and we purchase it and send it to their home so they don't have to go out and shop.
Yeah.
We have Adopt a Family, which volunteers adopt a different family, and for 6 months they commit to sending something. It can be a gift card. It can just be a regular card. It can be a package. They all kind of do whatever it is they choose. What else? Lots of other things. So that's kind of an overview. And then we have a crisis fund that we started a couple years ago. So if the families are in crisis above and beyond the actual crisis of childhood cancer or something caused by that, we give them $300, usually in a gift card to help with gas. We did have a family who was homeless. And so we helped with their hotel. We had a family where the dad had a heart attack. So we provided them with money so they could get to and from the hospital because they were still dealing with treatment, but then they were also dealing with the fact that the dad was in the hospital.
Yeah.
So they have, there's crises above and beyond the basic crisis.
And you mentioned earlier the Stargazers program.
Yep. So our Stargazers program started a few years ago. And what that is it provides support to families at the end of life. So we try to be sort of a bridge for them with hospice to help with that transition. Hospice is so scary for the families. The word hospice is scary for most people.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with a child, lots of times the families put off hospice as long as they possibly can. So what we do for them is at hospice intake, we provide them with a $500 gift card, and that is used in any way they choose. It can be for errands because we provide volunteers if they want volunteers to run errands so they can stay with the child. Lots of times it's used for funeral clothes. It can be used in any way they choose. And then we assist with the planning of the funeral, paying for the funeral. We work with a local funeral director, Todd Gerace at Mullins and Thompson, who's very generous with us. I often hope and pray he never leaves his job because he's just so good to us.
Yeah.
And then we provide activities and things for the families. Like we do a first day of school lunch for all of our bereaved parents. We do a retreat every year. This year it was at Great Wolf Lodge. We're looking at someplace different for next year simply because a few of the families have some negative memories there with their own children. And so we're trying to find some place that doesn't carry that for them. And then we do other things like dinner out around the holidays at Sedona because they do the Stakeout for Charity. So we buy them all gift cards and they can go there and have dinner together or just with their family. But trying to build as much as we can community. And now our next thing we're doing, and I know time's up, I'm going to talk really fast. We're implementing a program we're calling Hope Link. And what that is it's a we're calling it grief guides. So we're putting a program in place where families who are newly bereaved can connect with families who have been going through this journey a little bit longer to provide support to each other. And then we also are starting support groups. So the support groups will be for our bereaved families, and we're going to do the parents and then teens concurrent support groups. And then we're also going to have one for our survivor families because they have really expressed a need for support. And right now we're looking, if anyone needs a job, we're looking for someone, a master's level clinician who would run that. And it's about 15 hours a month to start. It may increase to more if we have more interest in the support groups, but it has to be someone who has a master's in human services.
FairyGodmotherProject.org is the website. When we come back, we'll wrap it up and talk about how you can get involved just financially in help Fairy Godmother Project. Andy McConnell here with the Fairy Godmother Project. Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We will conclude on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell here with the Fairy Godmother Project, fairygodmotherproject.org. You mentioned you have your, the Stardust
Ball. Yes.
That sells out, and this is no exception. You're at the Silk Mill.
We are. We didn't actually sell tickets this year. All we did was we have sponsorships. Yeah. We've never had so many sponsors as we do this year. So we had to cap it off at about 2:30 because of the space. But I think it's going to be great. We have a few things up our sleeves that we haven't revealed yet about the evening. So that's sort of exciting. And we have a really great group of people that are on the committee, and they've just been working so hard on getting everything done and prepared and ready. So I think it's going to be pretty great.
Well, what you do is pretty great.
Oh, thanks.
And it really, I mean, you deal with what we talked, you know, when you teared up earlier.
Ugh.
It can have the stories and the families that you've gotten to know. You've really had an impact in this in this community, and unfortunately it continues where
right.
you know somebody in the next little bit's gonna you know maybe learn about you, and it's not what you do is just for families. It's indescribable.
I saw something the other day that said childhood cancer is only rare until it's your family.
Mm.
And that really hit, you know, and that's the reality is so many people, every person, and you included, you're just going through life and suddenly that's the diagnosis. And it, you know, I mean, it happens. And
yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're more informed or not. The reality, like I always say, like, I'm not immune from it. My children aren't immune from the statistics that it could be them. And I know that, like, this doesn't make it so that I'm safe. But I know the reality of it. I know that statistically it could happen.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. You never expect it, and it takes a long time and to even have it processed because initially it's just he's sick.
Yeah, well, and one of our moms recently, and actually she's one of our speakers at the ball, but she spoke at my board retreat about how as a parent you just kind of are like. You're in survival mode in a way that you've never been before. And so you're not even processing your own emotions on it because you can't. First of all, it hits you like a ton of bricks. And then you just have to move into action. You don't have time to sit and weep about the fact that your child has cancer.
Right.
Because it is immediate action. Because typically when a child is diagnosed, it's at a point where it is emergent.
It's an emergency.
Yes, it is not like, we can talk about this for a while. So that was really eye-opening for me. And then when you're done... Then it's slowly kind of like, it's almost like you get out of this numbness, like, holy cow, we just went through what? And it's lifelong. It's processing all that they've been through.
Oh, it's totally, yeah, no, that's true. Because I can remember that first weekend in Richmond and friends coming down and several people saying to me, you're just being so strong. And we would say to each other, we're just doing what any parent would do.
And that's exactly what everyone says. Like the, you're so strong drives them crazy. Cause they're I'm not strong.
No.
I don't have a choice. Like what's my option?
Right.
Oh, I'm not going to do this today.
Come on, let's go home.
Yeah. Cause this is a pain for me.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to, you do look back and you just think, you know, 48 hours ago, my life was so normal.
Yep.
And
before
that's,
and after.
And that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But really, yeah, no, everybody, if you had to do it, you could do it.
And I think at the end, one of the things that we have talked about is that even now, for you with an adult child who's a survivor,
doesn't every time
when every he's, time
when
he's sick,
sick,
yep, it comes
so
back.
What? How exactly are you feeling?
Yeah, tell me what that means. What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure? You know,
and, no, it never ends.
And how many years has it been?
Yeah, it'd be 20.
Yeah, and that is 20 years. That to me speaks to the need for more support for families who are in remission.
FairyGodmotherProject.org. Andy, thanks again so much. We'll do this again in every couple of months.
Yes.
I wish we didn't have to, but again, FairyGodmotherProject.org. Get involved with them. You won't be disappointed. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you.
That's it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.